Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the show. I'm Charlie Arnold. Now, here on Outkick the Morning, we've gotten into a subject on multiple occasions. That's the idea of biological men playing in women's sports. Well, today, we now have two more faces to put to this horrific situation. They will be joining the show live to talk about their experiences. So, without further ado, let's get right into it, because we all realize, it's obvious to realize, the dangers that can stem from allowing biological men to play women's sports. After all, they're built different. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, and there have been a handful of young women who have been injured as a result of this allowance. But none quite as intense as what happened to high school volleyball player Peyton McNabb. On November 1st, 2022, her life was changed forever. She was playing in a volleyball game for her team in North Carolina when she had the ball spiked in her face by a transgender on the opposing team. Watch. Well, you can see that the transgender is the player that is highlighted in green, and then Peyton is the one who, on the opposite side of the net, has the ball completely slammed right into the center of her face. And the impact from that ball is obvious. I mean, you can see Peyton instantly fall down. And in that very moment, she suffered a concussion, also a serious neck injury. And as of about a year ago, she was still dealing with additional horrible medical problems. So, joining me now, that injured player in that video, Peyton McNabb, currently now working with the Independent Women's Forum. Peyton, thank you so much for being here. It's so nice to finally meet you in person. I've heard your story on multiple occasions, but it never is any easier to absorb. So let me just first start by asking you, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I just feel for you when I see this video. I mean, it's tough to watch. I was a volleyball player myself. I played all through high school. So I understand the impact that a ball has, even when it's not hit nearly as hard as the way that that ball was hit straight into the middle of your face. So when I think, you know, having a man, a biological man on the opposite team hitting me with such ferocity, with a spike like that, I mean, it just rattles me to my core. So can you take me back to that situation and what you were thinking in that moment, even before the impact occurred and you were just looking at what was going on in the game? Were you at all scared?
Yeah, absolutely. this was my fourth year playing against this male. So I was, and that never got any easier. He was the same age as me. And I think this was definitely the hardest game because we had a really young team that year, and seeing all of them just terrified. Oh my gosh. Oh, sorry. Seeing all of them just terrified to go in the game. They were literally shaking because they were seeing the force by this male and how hard he was hitting it. And it was something that we never saw on any other team. So just seeing their faces, it just broke my heart. And you know, it was hard because there was nothing we could do about it, and we were forced to play.
Okay, so this athlete, this transgender athlete, had been on the team that you had been playing. This was the fourth year in a row that you had encountered this athlete. I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah. So were there other incidents prior to this where you saw how hard they were able to hit the ball, and it was made you nervous when you were on defense? I mean, was there somebody else that had ever before you been maybe not hit in the same manner? Maybe it didn't strike them in the face, but it, you know, hit them in the arm or, you know, slammed down on the ground right in front of them. Had any of that occurred prior?
I've heard like little rumors about it. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but I know not just our team, but every other team that had to face them, no one seemed to enjoy it at all, and a lot of us did disagree. And I remember my team, as well as others, having conversations about how we've had to practice differently to prepare for that game, just for that one player. Because in reality, that team, the team that he played for, wasn't that good. So everyone was just having to prepare for that one player. So yeah, that was unfortunate. And it really, the fact that we had to practice differently to prepare just tells you everything you need to know about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that should be occurring in the first place. But again, looking at that video is pretty difficult. When you watch that video over again, how does it make you feel?
It's hard to watch. I just remember, I don't remember like too much because I was unconscious, but watching it back and seeing how hard it was. And if you let the video, if we had more of the video, you would see how long I was laying on the ground. And the other team actually laughing at me while I was unconscious, and all of like the horrific reactions, excuse me, from my teammates after they saw what just happened to me. No one knew what to do. I just remember the whole gym going silent, and it was just a really traumatic time that no one wanted to happen.
Yeah, I'm really, really, it's bizarre that they would laugh seeing you're injured, laying on the ground, helpless, probably not moving. That makes the situation all that more upsetting. But I understand that instantly you were knocked unconscious. Instantly you suffered from a neck injury. When you did get up from the court, I mean, what was that like? I mean, you don't remember it, but did you have to be helped up? Were you put onto a stretcher? Were you taken immediately to the emergency room? How did that go?
So after I woke up, they picked me up and helped me off the court. The opposing team's trainer or athletic trainer, he ran one test on me, and he asked me if I knew what just happened. And I said, well, yeah, that boy just hit me in the face. And I think he wasn't prepared for my my mouth. So he just did that one test, like I said, and then he said I was all good and can go back into play. Thankfully, my coaches and my athletic director were like, no, she is not going back in. And luckily they did that, because later when I went on to the doctor, I ended up having a brain bleed and a concussion and a neck injury. So yeah,
what
I'm very thankful
idiot.
I didn't go back in. I know.
Oh my gosh. I hope that person has lost their job by now. They are definitely not equipped to be a trainer of any type of, you know, or any position in the medical field. Wow. That person is a complete moron. That's all I have to say. Okay. So Peyton, I'm happy that you had people who had your back and your best interest. You did not go back in the game. But looking at, you know, the situation, I'm still blown away by the fact that they laughed at you, but was there any type of apology that took place from this trans player or the coach of the opposing team or anybody for that matter?
No, the trans player has reached out to me once, but it was just like a negative comment. And then I've seen, because we had to keep playing this team. We didn't continue playing them in volleyball for the remainder of the year. But we did play them in basketball, so I had to see them again. And the coaches, they've never apologized, but this year they did see my mom at a game and told her how hard it's been for them and how they've been going through it too. And my mom was just like what? It's been
yeah,
hard on
your mom's
all.
Probably like, I have left. Nothing. Yeah. Oh my gosh, your poor mother. And also poor you. I mean, what are you experiencing now? I know that you had symptoms that even when you spoke out about a year after the fact that the injury occurred, you were still going through a lot. What are you experiencing now, and what kind of symptoms were you experiencing as a result of that horrible hit into the face?
Yeah, so immediately after, like I said, I got a concussion. They diagnosed me with a concussion and permanent whiplash. And then I had impaired vision. I had to go get glasses. And then my right side was, I had partial paralysis on my right side. And a lot of other things, like my body is just in shock. So a lot of other things follow. And it's still something I'm having to deal with today. Like I have a doctor's appointment later about it. And this is why this whole thing with these Democrats that are pledging that this is an issue and that, you know, no women are being harmed, no men are playing in the sports, is really just a slap in the face to me and all the other women that have had to struggle with this issue that's going on. Because, I mean, my tons of doctor bills that I, like, can't afford as a college student, that's not a lie. Like, you know, that is an actual serious issue, and it's just evil for them to act like it's not.
Yeah, I want to get to the politicians and the idea of not everybody standing up for this right now. But before we get to that, you mentioned that you had permanent whiplash. What does that mean exactly?
So I had, in the manner of high school when I was still at home, I had to go to the chiropractor like every other week because my neck is just like, it's like stiff and it hurts really bad. So they have to like help work it out every week.
Okay. And obviously that was your final season of high school volleyball. I know you went on to play softball. You said didn't believe you were able to play up to the best of your abilities because of the effect of all of the injuries. But what's your life like now? What are you up to? What are you able to do? What are you not able to do?
Yeah, so, I mean, I dreamed to play college sports, but unfortunately that was taken away from me by this injury. So now I'm just in school trying my best. It's definitely a lot harder, and last semester was the hardest semester of my life because not only, you know, is it being college and having to adapt and you know, my whole life changed, but also on top of the fact that ever since the injury, I've not been able to do as well in school, and I've required accommodations in school, which is something that I've never had to deal with before. So all of that piling up, school is definitely a lot harder than it used to be, but I'm just trying my best and trying to get through it.
Yeah, well, that's all you can do. And I'm proud that at least you are being so brave about this entire situation. And I know a lot of people are looking up to you. And, you know, this is something that I'm sure doesn't leave you at all at any point in time. But this traumatizing incident is being more widely talked about once again, because Republicans at this point, they're now pushing more legislation that they say will protect women when it comes to competitive sports that they take part in. It's the Protection of Women in Olympic and Amateur Sports Act, and it was recently introduced by Florida Representative Greg Stube and has companion legislation in the Senate introduced by Senator Tommy Tuberville. So the premise of the bill is to ban biological males from competing in women's sports with a specific focus on sports with governing bodies recognized by the U.S. Olympic Committee. But to your point, Peyton, there are some Democrats, Pramila Jayapal being one of them, that just do not get it. So let's listen to what she had to say and we'll get your reaction.
Why are you doing this? It is a tiny portion of people across the country that identify as trans, and not a single one of them is doing anything to harm you or your family.
Okay, when you see how emotional that she's getting about this, feels like she's about to break down in tears. And obviously what she's saying, in complete contrast to what you actually lived through firsthand as a female athlete, what is your reaction, Peyton?
I think she definitely rehearsed that a few times before. I think it looks like pretty good acting to me. Because it's, you know, we can see right through the delusion. I mean, obviously, everything she said isn't true, and it's been proven over and over again. So I think she's trying to put on a show to, like, you know, hide what's happening, but it's kind of hard to because it continues to happen every day.
I have some other questions that I want to ask you, but before I get to those, there's somebody else that I want to bring into the program. This is someone else that can relate to your story. Her name is Macy Petty. She just finished up her final year of college volleyball at Lee University in Tennessee, and also in this past season faced a biological male on an opposing team. She's also a leader with the Young Women for America, believing that women's bodies are no different than men's bodies, with no amount of surgery or hormones being able to change that. So let's go ahead and also bring in Macy, and all three of us can have a discussion. Hello, Macy. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, have you two met before? I know you probably are well aware of each other, but have you two had the ability to have a conversation yet?
Yeah, we've talked quite a bit. We actually aren't far from each other, so we should, I don't know why we haven't yet, but we are able to meet up.
Okay, amazing. Well, I'm so happy that we're all have the ability to chat this morning, because Macy, as much as you're aware of Peyton's story, Peyton, I'm sure you're aware of Macy's story. Macy, you probably heard Peyton, you know, talk this morning about what she's been going through. You've heard the comments from Pramila Jayapal. What's your reaction as someone who's also had to deal with the fact of playing against a transgender athlete?
Yeah, well, I had to play against a male athlete during my recruiting process. So I, like you just said, I just completed my senior season. So this was several years ago, and we were playing in front of college recruiters. And so it just speaks to how far reaching these effects go. You have stories like Peyton and the devastating occurrence of her, you know, traumatic injuries and things like that. And then you also have stories where players like me have to play in front of college recruiters, and there's so much on the line that also have far-reaching effects, like college scholarships. Those are hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line. And then you have Democrats just sweeping them under the rug. And it goes to show that you have these people who are seeking a god in President Biden or themselves, and redefining things that are so deeply ingrained in God's creation. And of course, they're going to have devastating, far-reaching effects that extend to uprooting our legislation and turning things like Title IX against us and limiting female opportunity and harming us in the way.
Yeah, and it's really horrible, because both of you have lived the experience. You both understand better than anybody else could what this means, how it affects you. And then you have politicians like Jayapal who come out so emotionally saying, why are we talking about this? This only affects a small percentage of people, you two being one of them. And sure, maybe it's a small percentage right now, but as time goes by and this becomes potentially more commonplace to see males playing on women's teams, there's more of an ability or the idea of more women getting injured, or even if they're not physically injured, have an emotional toll taken on them. Macy, when you hear Jayapal make these comments, I mean, you just heard Peyton express her concern over it. What's your concern?
Yeah, well, it definitely shows the Democrats' cards, because I was actually there whenever the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act passed through the House, and not a single Democrat had the guts to vote for women. And it just exposed where their loyalties are. It's not with women, 50% of the population. They're so just eager to throw us in the backseat. And disregard stories like mine, disregard stories like Peyton's, and instead show their absolute allegiance to this transgender agenda. And they're willing to reverse 50 years of progress for women and opportunities, and then somehow act like they're the victims. They hear stories like Peyton's and just absolutely disregard the fact that she has lasting health issues that are going to affect her for the rest of her life. But no, they're the ones who are oppressed, because they can't skip the rules and play on anything that they want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Peyton, as horrible as it is, a lot of the medical problems that you're still experiencing, how much more difficult your day-to-day life has gotten as a result of this injury caused by a man playing on a girl's team or a boy playing on a girl's team. Some good came out of it. if you want to look for a silver lining, and that's the fact that transgender athletes are no longer allowed to play on girls' teams in Cherokee County. That's where your high school was. So, Peyton, when you hear even this little bit of good, you know, maybe at least other females are taken out of harm's way because of what you went through. I mean, does that at least make you feel like it wasn't completely for nothing? I know it's hard to really put that idea out there, but we're looking for a silver lining.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Lord had a plan for me. Obviously, it was really out of my comfort zone and not what I was expecting at all. But now boys are no longer allowed to play in girls' sports in the whole state of North Carolina. So I couldn't be more thankful for the people that stepped up to help this bill pass. And yeah, I'm just going to keep doing this until no more women have to fear playing in their own sport.
Oh, it's the whole state of North Carolina. Okay, that's even better news than I thought. I was unaware. Yeah. I thought it was just the county, the whole state. That's incredible news. What's it like for both of you, having been put in this position, now kind of having a responsibility to step up and protect other women who could potentially be put in your same situations? Peyton, I'll have you go first, then Macy, if you could just talk to me about how your life has just been so tremendously changed, and now you've become someone that has been, like you said, you know, by the grace of God, kind of he had a plan for you and has now been put in this position where you have to do something and step up to hope to affect change for others.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I was saying, I did not expect this at all, and it's way out of my comfort zone, but it's not like I picked it to happen. It really just came out of nowhere. So, yeah, my life is really different now, and I don't really know what I'm doing still, but I'm trying my best because my whole goal is just to help as many women as I can. And then, because I know my time playing is over, so my initial goal was for my sister, who's a freshman in high school, and she's a 3-4 athlete as well, and all of my teammates, and you know, my future daughters. So I'm blessed to have them one day. I don't want them to even think this is an issue that could happen to them.
Wow! And how about you, Macy?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the North Carolina legislature, and don't get me wrong, I am so grateful that they finally stepped up to protect their female athletes, but they had an opportunity to do that before a story like Peyton McNabb's happened. I testified in South Carolina my freshman year of college on this issue and told them about my firsthand experience playing against a male athlete who identified as a woman and therefore got to just be exempt from the rules. And they still said, oh, this isn't a real issue, and passed on the opportunity to protect women in the state. So North Carolina, again, same thing. They said, this isn't really happening. And so they sat on their hands and waited for a girl, sweet Peyton, who's now going to have lasting health implications because of this. We can't keep waiting for more girls to be hurt. We can't have these stories like members of Congress just absolutely ignoring girls who are sitting here with firsthand experiences, with stories. We need to keep amplifying how this is happening nationwide, every sport, every level. There are hundreds of girls out there with stories just like mine. And so it's been great to partner with Concerned Women for America and Young Women for America to keep amplifying these stories. We've had other Young Women for America ambassadors, like my friend Kylie, who was swimming and was forced into a locker room with a male athlete and therefore had to try and find a storage closet to change in because she was so deeply uncomfortable. Oh, the idea that this isn't happening nationwide is absolutely absurd. And we need to keep amplifying these stories so that people know that people like you just showed are absolutely delusion. It's absolutely like they're stuck in this alternate mindset and ignoring what's happening everywhere, and show the American people what's really happening so we can vote these people out of office and get people in who will actually stand up for female athletes.
And something that always strikes me, and I notice when all of us are even attempting to share stories, anecdotes on this program, sometimes you have to struggle to figure out which words you should use. Because there's so many different people, the PC police who say, oh, no, you shouldn't call them men, they're transgenders, or, you know, and it just makes things all that more complicated because it's a very straightforward story, but you're not able to necessarily tell it in that manner because so many people get so fired up and sensitive about the subject, people that really have no business being sensitive about the subject. But I think those are the types of people. Macy, you mentioned the word delusional. There's like this delusional empathy that people want to have for situations that they've never been in, nor will they ever be in. And they try to discount the stories being told by the people, like both of you, young women who have lived through it. But really, this whole subject is just so pervasive. So we have a clip. This is with Riley Gaines, who I'm sure both of you are very well aware of, another strong woman like both of yourselves, who's standing up to save the idea of women having their own sports. She was joined by Alvin Louie. He's the founder of Courage is a Habit. And he joined her to recently expose how educators and politicians are weaponizing words to twist reality. We'll watch it.
The importance of language, or as you describe it, language contamination.
Language contamination is they use your vocabulary, but not your dictionary. So when they tell parents, we're just teaching empathy. What you and I think of empathy is like, oh, you teach the kids to put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if this happened to you? That's what we mean by empathy. What they mean by empathy is, hey, we're going to work these children from kindergarten on. By the time they're 13, 14, 15, if a man walks into a bathroom, instead of you getting that reaction that girls should, you have to have empathy for him. How would you like it if someone kicked you out of the bathroom? Everything that Americans are facing today starts with language contamination. Whether it be open borders, vaccines, name it, name your problem. It starts with language contamination.
To your point about the border, we've seen the Biden administration say now newcomers, which sounds newcomers. So pleasant. It makes us this really homey country. Everyone's welcome. It sounds like a super positive thing.
Or the dreamers. Why did Obama call it the Dreamer Act? What's the matter? Don't you want people to dream like you? Don't you want people to have a better life?
Okay, so there's so many different circumstances in which this delusional empathy takes place in our country these days, in which words are being used to weaponize situations, and people really can't speak freely, otherwise they're deemed to be hateful or a bigot or transphobic, all of the above. When you hear this clip, ladies, and you understand the difficulty sometimes it is to share your story or have other people try to understand your stories. How does it resonate with you? Macy, you can go first.
Yeah, it is such an important aspect that we need to recognize and honestly just give a full stop, because you don't have authority over God's creation of male and female, and you certainly do not have authority over the words that come out of my mouth. And it's just confusing the American people. People are like, oh, wait, do you mean like a man who became a woman? No, a man cannot become a woman. And so you have to call it like it is, and that adds clarity. And this is a very clear issue. We have men's sports and we have women's sports for a reason. And the clearer we can make that, the easier we can resolve this absolute insanity.
Mm-hmm. Peyton, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything Macy just said. You know, you can never be a woman. The man can never change, and vice versa. So it was definitely hard for me at the beginning to tell my story because I was, you know, using biological male and biological female. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a man or a woman, and I'm no longer doing that anymore. And I think that, you know, everyone's kind of waking up to the fact that these language things that people are trying to throw in there is just confusing everyone and making everything far more worse. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I think it's offensive that as women, we should be expected to use this language that, quite frankly, is being made up on the spot as we go, as Democrats find it to their I guess to better suit them, right? Even from the beginning of this show, I've noticed I've changed my language. I was trying to be, I guess, what we would consider political correct. And now at the end of it, I'm on board with both of you. I don't think there's any need to sugarcoat it. I think it kind of just takes away from the purpose that you both are trying to pursue. Before I let both of you go, any message that you'd like to send out to any other female, whether at a high school level, a college level, even younger, that are having to deal with the same issues that both of you have had to go through and really are having trouble finding their way or finding their voice? Peyton, you can go first.
Yeah, I would just say keep speaking up. Don't give up on it at all, because sooner or later they're gonna have to listen to you. And just keep talking, keep fighting, and don't comply. Don't let it keep happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really proud of Peyton and all of the other women who have been able to stand up and fight. I think community is huge, which is why I'm so grateful for Young Women for America, which is just a community of strong Christian, like-minded women who are able to fight together. Back to the language thing. The reality does not play into President Biden or the Democrats' agenda. And so because they can't change reality, they change how we talk about reality. And that's why it's so important that we are very clear in our words and clear in what we say. But that takes courage. It takes courage to go against the grain and to stand up for what you believe in. And so I just encourage everyone to be a part of that change and change the way that we talk about things, change the way we're talked about, honestly. A lot of times I'm sure Peyton gets called a transphobe every day. Being able to just extend that love and extend that empathy to show that this isn't about hate. This is about opportunity and truth and just forwarding that every possible chance you can. And there's a voice, whether you're a fifth grader or a college student, or maybe you're one of the original trailblazers of Title IX. There's a place for all women in this to continue fighting for women's rights and their opportunity.
Well, I have so much respect for both of you for using your experiences, though I know they were so difficult to have to endure, but by taking them and using them to help the greater good and help other women who hopefully, as a result of your actions and your voices and your past experiences, won't have to go through the same things that you did. So we can only hope that more politicians open their eyes to this, more legislation is passed more quickly, again, so we can affect change to a greater level. But thank you to both of you so much for being here this morning. I so appreciate it. It was so nice to meet both of you. Please keep fighting, and thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Yes, hats off to two courageous young women. I can't imagine putting myself in their position had I been their age. I mean, especially high school. I know how delicate of a stage that is for a young woman, and to have to step up and speak so loudly in regards to an issue that's so polarizing. I just can't imagine doing that. And even taking myself out of high school and into college, same thing. That would have been very difficult. I'm very happy that there are people like Macy and Peyton who are willing to step up. Also, of course, like our own Riley Gaines. It's just, you know, you as a woman, you feel very happy to have ambassadors like them who are standing up and fighting for causes that affect women so much. So anyone, everyone, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy to have talked to them again. I have chills right now. But everybody, brand new show coming tomorrow. So make sure you're staying tuned for that. In the meantime, make sure you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV. Have a wonderful Tuesday, and I will see you tomorrow.